You can find out more about our guests and topics by logging on to The Edge's website, theedgeam.com. That's theedgeam.com. And now here's your host for The Edge Radio broadcast. Here's Daniel Ott.
Welcome back to the Edge Radio broadcast. On our newsmaker line, we have with us Bart Sebrell. Bart, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty good. How about you?
All right, Bart. Well, we were telling the folks earlier about all your things you've done in the movies, but it seemed like you kind of veered off and went into talking about the moon. How did that happen?
Well, when I was about 14 years old, I was watching a news magazine program where a gentleman who worked for the space program in the 1960s asserted that going to the moon was impossible. And therefore, they pretended to go as a way of fooling the Soviets into thinking we were more advanced than we really were.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years went by, and I became a filmmaker, and I was actually editing one day for the guy who had produced that program 10 years earlier. And I said, do you remember the guy who said we didn't go to the moon? What was his name? They said, call this particular office, found out who he was. And then over a course of about 6 months, I looked into it and found out, yeah, you know, the shadows intersect when they should be parallel. Sunlight would cast only parallel shadows, and in some of the pictures, they intersect. And I find out Neil Armstrong has never given a single one-on-one interview since he allegedly walked on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And then to find out the administrator of NASA resigned without explanation days before the first mission.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, you know, there's about a 1 out of 25 maybe a 25% chance, 1 out of 4, that they didn't go to the moon. And I thought that's kind of big.
Yep.
So I started producing the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which you can check out at moonmovie.com. And we were producing it under the theory it might be true. And
yep.
Lo and behold, about 3.5 years into the 5-year project, in meticulously going through the archives at NASA, I found a mislabeled classified tape, a fake photography from the first moon mission, which unfortunately is proof that we did not go to the moon.
You say that is absolute proof?
Yeah.
And how is it that you got access to, I guess it wasn't classified, but I mean, did nobody else in all this time had found it, or it was misled?
Well, most reporters were satisfied with the first few compilation reels because they had it, you know, more than enough to do their little story on. No one apparently had ever gone through everything meticulously. I figured if they didn't go to the moon, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time that they faked it. So I went through everything just from the first mission to the moon and certainly found a lot of heavy circumstantial evidence, such as the shadows intersecting. Again, on the moon, there's no atmosphere, so the sunlight's supposed to be about 20 times brighter than a desert on Earth. So they didn't need any lighting. And if the sun's 92 million miles away, then all the shadows from astronaut A and astronaut B, they'll always run parallel with one another. And on our website, you can see where sometimes the shadows intersect in as much as 90 degrees, indicating that it's not sunlight, which means they're not on the moon. Now, that's kind of circumstantial evidence of it. Then, as I meticulously went through everything, second to the bottom, I found a reel. You pop it in. It says, do not show to the public on the screen. And though I requested unedited footage, this was the only reel that I received that was unedited. Now, what was on the label and on the tape were two completely different things. So someone 35 years ago put the wrong label on the tape. And they're doing about 30 takes of a single shot of the mission. They aired about 10 seconds of it, and we've got the hour of them doing the shot over and over again. And as you saw from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, they're faking this particular scene,
mm-hmm.
dated 2 days after they left, and all the astronauts are there on camera.
Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, for everybody listening on the Edge Radio broadcast, I did see those videos that Bart sent me, and I have to say, they do certainly raise some valid questions on that. Why don't we just kind of pick the whole thing apart piece by piece? Did you actually have to become a sort of a moon expert, Bart, to go through this, to evaluate things such as temperature and shadows and daylight time and that? Did you actually have to learn those things, or do you have enough information not to even know those things to find out what happened?
Well, I certainly learned those things along the way. The main, benefit I was to the project was being a filmmaker. My job is to make fake scenes look real. And so it was more of a analyzation of the photographs and the film and the video, and looking at things from the point of view is, you know, is this a set or is this really a landscape? And with that insight, I was able to show that, yeah, these particular scenes are questionable, and with this particular footage of a special effect shot of the Earth allegedly floating in space, we, you know, know for a fact that they're faking this particular shot. If your listeners can imagine a TV screen that's mostly black with maybe a little blue tennis ball-sized Earth in the middle of it. So this would be the Earth floating in space. This is the shot that they are falsifying. Now, it's video footage coming from the spacecraft, and it's time-stamped by a computer. So we know it absolutely was shot 2 days after they left to go to the moon. Plus, all the astronauts are identified on camera as they're passing the camera back and forth inside the spacecraft. Now, the spacecraft is supposed to be halfway to the moon, or some 130,000 miles away from the Earth. And they allegedly have one window that faces the Earth. And according to them, it's completely filled up with the TV camera. The lens of the camera is at the glass of the window to shoot this shot that I described of a little blue Earth surrounded by the blackness of space. Now, again, they only aired 10 seconds of this. However, we have the unedited version of them setting up this particular shot. What it proves, number one, is that they were definitely on the rocket. They went up in front of witnesses, which was great benefit, and they achieved genuine, you know, zero gravity from Earth orbit.
Okay.
The tape proves, though, that they never left Earth orbit, because this is what, or how the shot is actually constructed. They're in Earth orbit, okay, which is some 200 to 300 miles above the Earth, not 130,000 miles that they claim. They claim that the lens of the camera is right to the window of the glass to shoot the tiny Earth far away. That's not true. What they've done is they've turned out all the lights in the spacecraft so that it's pitch black. They've done this while they are in Earth orbit. They've moved the camera back away from the window, 10 feet or so. About 10 feet in front of the camera is a circular window, outside of which is completely filled with the Earth in low Earth orbit. You're seeing a section of the Earth outside of the circular window with the lights off. So it looks like the Earth floating in space when, in fact, it's part of the Earth outside of a circular window in Earth orbit with the lights off around it. It's very clever shot, and had I just seen the 10 seconds that they aired, I doubt if I would have ever figured it out. However, we have the unedited version, the outtakes, where an astronaut's arm gets in front of the window, and then finally when they open up the iris, and you see, in fact, that they are faking being halfway to the moon. Now, you have to ask yourself, if they really went to the moon, why would they be faking any of it? And if they're faking being halfway, then it's because they could not go halfway. And seeing how they all had identical equipment, it means none of the missions ever left Earth orbit.
Now, you realize, of course, that is a very controversial statement to say that we never, in any of those missions, went to the moon. But let me just ask you this one question, and it just popped in my mind as if a listener had wanted to email me the question, but they didn't have a computer. You mentioned that you are good at, you have taken videos and you've edited them to make them look real. Now, just get this out of the way. You didn't do anything to the film, right?
Of course not. I mean, and it's self-explanatory. I mean, I cannot fake Neil Armstrong's 30-year younger face in zero gravity. Anybody will tell you, filmmaker or layman, that this is the real deal. I mean, it's self-explanatory. It's the real audio. It's the real picture. And interesting thing about the audio is, the very beginning of it, NASA says, hey, Apollo 11, this is Houston. The TV picture looks great. Then there's dead air, more dead air, more dead air, more dead air. And then we hear someone on a third channel say, talk. And then Neil Armstrong starts speaking. Now, according to NASA, only two people are on this channel, the astronaut and NASA. But obviously there's a third person on here.
You say he's being coached what to say?
Well, they're being prompted when to speak.
They're cued?
I originally thought that they were preoccupied faking this little window shot. I realize now what they were. They were supposed to be 130,000 miles away. They're not. They're 200 miles away in Earth orbit. They never left Earth orbit on any mission. Had they been further away, it would have taken more time for the radio signal to reach them and for them to respond and for it to come back. So someone with a stopwatch at the CIA, whoever, was counting off 1001, 2, 3, 4, talk. And then the alarm sergeant would speak, and that's clearly on the tape. On the most recent, full, most expensive version you can get, the 10-DVD set of Apollo 11 just came out, you know, 6 months ago.
Okay.
That has been edited out. The prompting of talk is not on there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have the, you know, closest to the original copy, and it's definitely on there. And they're definitely being prompted to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a third party. It's not the astronauts. It's not Houston. And it's fishy. I mean, why would they be prompted to do anything? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they're really going to the moon.
Well, why?
And this is on the same reel that they later fake the shot of being halfway to the moon from Earth orbit.
Have you, has any news organization asked you for that videotape?
Well, I've given it to some. And,
why wouldn't that make major news? Isn't
well,
that sort
you know,
of a smoking
that's
gun?
That's a great question. You would think that it would. It's a little bit of an uphill battle. You know, it's like saying I've got a UFO or, you know, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
The fact is they did not go to the moon. It's impossible to this day to go to the moon. George Bush himself says when we return to the moon, we cannot do that unless we first build a space station. So, you know, according to our research, Von Braun said you have to have a space station first. Children's books that were realistically depicting for like 12-year-olds trips to the moon, all of them have a space station first.
Now, is that because the space station has to be beyond the Van Allen radiation belt?
No, it would be below that. It would basically be to contain, to ferry fuel. Because according to Von Braun, in order to reach the moon, you would need, without a space station, this is in his own, you know, mm-hmm. writings from 1957.
All right.
He says you will need three rockets, each taller than the Empire State Building, each weighing 15 times the amount of the Titanic. Now, the Saturn V is one-third as tall as one Empire State Building. He said you need three taller than the Empire State. Now, he recanted on his math after Kennedy set the goal by just 32,000%, just a little bit.
Quite coincidentally, of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, obviously he knew they weren't going to the moon, but the surprising thing is how few people did know. NASA did not fake the moon landing. NASA thought they were going to the moon. They built the rocket. They were on the rocket. They went up. But there's only three eyewitnesses. And once they're up and out of there, which they were, who knew? You know,
yeah.
The three guys knew. The people who built the sets knew. The flight director, you know, could have been fooled himself. Von mm-hmm. Braun knew. And basically, you know, very few people knew. It was really amazing.
At that time, did the United States or anybody have the technology to view or to track things from space?
No, they did not. The Soviet Union was developing that technology, and at the end of 1972, they would have had that capability, and then abruptly, Apollo 18 and 19 were canceled.
Abruptly.
Yeah. So we're going to go to the moon two more times, but right when the Soviets developed that tracking ability, that's when they stopped going.
Wasn't there a scientist that was getting ready to turn state's evidence or something? He had, I don't know what, I thought I heard he had 500-page report saying there's no way that we could go to the moon, and he died and his report disappeared.
Well, you're talking about the Barron report, which was primarily about the Apollo 1 fire, which took place on January 27th, 1967, where mm-hmm. the crew that would have been the first crew to walk on the moon died, you know, when they were just on the ground,
yeah.
not even firing the rockets.
Well, now, I do have to ask the question then, do you think there was any shenanigans about that fire?
I'm sorry?
Do you believe that those astronauts knew the trickery?
Well, let me put it to you this way. I have a source who knows all of the Apollo astronauts personally. They have in their possession forensic evidence that that fire was set deliberately. And, you know, I trust their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have, you know, I have this piece of a puzzle, this footage that was uncovered of proving that they could not leave Earth orbit, which means they did not go to the moon. They have this evidence that the Apollo 1 fire was set deliberately. Do you think the two events are related to one another?
Mm. Well, I have to say, in the conspiracy theory realm, that actually lands on your side, or the side that we did not go, because it kind of fits in there, because I don't understand how that, with all the people involved, particularly the astronauts, how that somebody wouldn't have a conscience.
Well, who knows?
But if they were told the free world was dependent upon their silence, then of course, you know, they have to swear under a blood oath.
There's a lot of ways, you know, to get someone to play ball. Patriotism would be the best way. The other way would be bribery, and then of course blackmail, etc.
Yeah.
You know, work your way down.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure our government knows a lot about all three of those.
Well, you know, if people go to moonmovie.com, get a copy of the first one, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. It contains that photographic evidence recently uncovered of not only them being prompted when to speak, but them also faking a shot of being halfway to the moon. I mean, it's right there in front of you. Absolutely proves they didn't go to the moon. 4 to 5 people who watched that movie who previously thought the moon landings were real reversed their opinion. That means they, you know, I'm absolutely convinced they did not go to the moon. Does anybody care? You know, that's the question. Here we are, you know, on a radio talking about it, and yet it's not on TV. It hasn't made news, and because people don't want to believe it, they think it's too bizarre or whatever. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, my point of view on the whole matter is, if we have a evidence that the government concocted something on this scale, is there something else that they would be involved to as well, even today?
Well, I think they're afraid that heads will roll, or, you know, then people will ask, well, what else have you done, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we're stuck with continuing to do wrong. It's what we're stuck with.
Well, seems like
it was wrong, and if we continue to keep it a secret, then that's wrong also, which we're stuck with doing, which means this country, which claims to be a light on a hill, that's deceiving, you know, the world about alleged humanity's greatest accomplishment.
Yeah. Let me go back for just a second. When you got that film, now, did you go in by yourself or your film crew go in there and say, we'd like to request this film, or did they send it to you? How did you get that film?
Well, I told them I was doing a 30th anniversary commemorative film. And what I basically went in and borrowed everything and then copied everything and gave it back. And then at my leisure, I went through all the material that I had copied.
Okay. Were you by yourself when you first saw the film?
Yeah, I was.
When the cover finally came off and you saw that, did you jump out of your seat and say, I can't believe this?
Well, it was a heartbreaking experience. You know, I still gave him the benefit of the doubt. The shadows intersect. Neil Armstrong doesn't give interviews. This guy quits. All these things just don't. I still say, well, it probably went, but you never know. Then come to realize, you know, this is true, unfortunately. You know, but here it is right in front of me. It's a very heartbreaking experience. And, you know, to realize mankind has done such a thing, it's you know, full of grief that, you know, does anybody care?
Mm-hmm.
Here we have, if they could go to the moon, you know, would have a certain level of significance to mankind historically. If they couldn't go, lied about it, murdered people to make it happen, I say that's more profound of an event than if they had actually gone, which means one of the great events in history, the faking of going to the moon, that is not known, and mankind cannot learn and benefit from it. We're being robbed of the truth.
Yeah.
One of the greatest events in human history is a handful of people who are hoarding the truth.
Yeah, I definitely don't like that. I tell you what, we've had a number of things come out on this show that blow the lid off of popular thinking in the culture, because we are, as a culture, so manipulated to begin with. You know, why do we like Coke? Why do we drive Fords? Everything is being taught to us from the earliest age. You know, why do we celebrate Christmas? Because there's a Santa. Why? We have to shop. I mean, all these things are ingrained into us, and we really may not know what the truth is. And we may believe something so much, but it's not the truth. And who wants to be indoctrinated with a lie? And so I think if we ever have a stone with truth underneath it, we need to turn stone over and say, here it is. Whatever cards are, there it is.
Yep.
So now, I guess that may be some of your prompting then to pursue this, and then you went on to make some movies based on this, and you believe then that this is the smoking gun to show inevitably that we did not go.
Yeah, it would be like finding the Zapruder film last week. I mean, here we've had this mislabeled tape sitting there in the archives and no one knew about it, and it shows them, you know, faking a shot in real time, unedited, behind the scenes, outtakes of a fake special effect shot, the Earth in space. It's not. So they're faking part of the moon mission.
Okay.
And, you know, when you see it, you just can't you can't believe it. I mean, there it is. They're doing it. And yet, you know, not too many people know about it still.
Mm-hmm. All right, everybody, you listen to the Edge Radio broadcast. We have Bart Sebro on the line. We're talking about whether or not we went to the moon. If you have a question for Bart, you can go to the edgeam.com website, click on Fast Blast. They'll come right to the studio. Or you can call us nationwide, 1-800-996-9638, or locally in the Indianapolis area, 359-5593. Bart, let me ask you something. Let's just start from the blast off. You mentioned the fuel. There's no way that we'd have enough fuel, especially back in the 60s on the rocket, to go to the moon. But first of all, you got to get through the Van Allen radiation belt. What is that, and why do you think that we cannot go through there?
Well, they couldn't leave Earth orbit for some reason, because they're faking the shot of being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't go halfway. They're stuck. So it's either they didn't have enough fuel, or potentially radiation, space radiation, or the radiation having to pass through this field called the Van Allen radiation belt, which is basically a radiation field, a magnetic field that surrounds the Earth starting about 1,000 miles up and going about another 25,000 miles. Every manned mission in the beginning of space history through today is always below the radiation belt, except going to the moon. You'd have to go through it in order to reach the moon. In the production of part two of the film, which is called Astronauts Gone Wild, I got interviews with some of the astronauts. And they, like, one guy, Alan Bean, says, we didn't go through the belts on camera. We have him saying that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go through them.
Yeah.
Well, he's right. He did not. And he unfortunately made that omission, that they did not go through the radiation belt. Now, how you can go to the moon without going through the radiation belt? According to NASA, they went through the radiation belt.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called expert of the radiation belt today is my age. He was 4 years old when they allegedly went to the moon. He says, I know for a fact they're not lethal because the astronauts went through them six times to reach the moon.
Mm.
And that's his proof. So these scholars, you know, are misled. Just
yeah.
like doctors in George Washington's day, you know, believed bleeding people would get rid of a virus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So the best thinkers of the day were completely wrong in killing people. Here we have the best thinkers of the day think we went to the moon, and we did not. They were deceived. You know, we have no reason back then to doubt it, and yet they did it. You know, it's almost as gutsy as if they had actually gone.
Mm-hmm.
So the radiation belt is basically 25,000 miles thick, and when the space shuttle went to about 350 miles about maybe 8 years ago, the guys could see the radiation with their eyes closed from a distance of 650 miles away, and shielding better than what Apollo used. So CNN reported that the radiation belt is more dangerous than previously believed. Okay,
mm-hmm.
Previously believed would
All
have
right.
to mean when they went to the moon. So it's
yeah.
more dangerous than what we thought it was, and yet no one connects the two. Well, then how did they go to the moon? No one has ever put these two pieces of the puzzle together.
Has anybody ever calculated the amount of or thickness of shielding it would be required to get a human through the Van Allen radiation belt?
The Soviets thought it would be around 2 feet.
Of what, steel or iron? Lead?
Yeah.
Mm.
And von Braun himself said that, you know, not only do you have to go through that field of radiation, which is more than likely lethal, once you're beyond the radiation belt, which serves kind of as a protection from solar and galactic radiation. So it's
yep.
kind of like this shield for the Earth, and yet itself the shield is radioactive. Once you go through it, you have consequences from that, and then you're beyond its protection as well. Von Braun said, you know, you'd have to immediately go into a cave once you landed on the moon to protect yourself, number one, from the radiation, and number two, micrometeorites, which he said had a 50% chance of causing a catastrophic failure every 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I don't know how they sat on the moon all these days, all this time, and never had one puncture from a micrometeorite.
Do you have the grid, so to speak, of the outline of the Van Allen radiation belt that you have on your videotape? Is that on your website?
I think there is a small model of it at moonmovie.com.
At moonmovie.com, okay. Well, in that, isn't there, and I wanted to ask you about this when I watched that, isn't at the top of the North Pole, isn't there some, there's no, I mean, apparently there's no, like, almost like a hole above on the North Pole?
Sure.
Could it go through that?
It's like a donut, basically, or a couple of donuts that encircle, that you're primarily leaving an opening at the North and South Pole, which means you could, the reason why they launch, they're trying to launch closest to the equator, number one, is best to get the most efficient orbit with the least amount of fuel. That's why they launch in southern Florida. You could theoretically, you know, launch from the North or South Pole and miss the radiation belt, but then you'd be launching in -60 degrees Fahrenheit in summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we know what happened at 34 degrees last time, right?
Yeah.
You also have to ask yourself, you know, the space shuttle goes 200 miles above the Earth. It's killed 14 people so far. And yet, 3.5 decades ago, with less technology in my watch that I bought from Walmart, they went 1,000 times farther than the space shuttle. 6 times and never killed anybody.
I was wondering how they made those calculations. Were they still using tube transistors back in the 60s?
Sure. Uh-huh.
I wonder what size computer it would take to calculate
that.
Well,
it couldn't. There'd be no way that the computer would be fast enough to land or to even really help you land on the moon. It would probably just be a manual, pretty much all the way down. You know, the whole lunar lander thing, they're supposedly in 250 degrees, and they're powering, you know, this camper with air conditioning, getting it down to 72 degrees.
Okay.
For 3 or 4 days on car batteries.
Yeah. Well, Bart, I'll tell you what. Why don't we follow our track here? Okay, let's just say then, okay, you've given evidence and you give scientific facts about the Van Allen radiation belt, first of all. First, we talk about fuel, then the Van Allen radiation belt. Okay, look, now we're on our way to the moon. And how far is it from here to there? Is it 250?
It's a little less than 250,000 miles.
Okay. All right, so we're on our way to the moon with a rocket with a limb on the nose. Is that the way it is?
Well, it's folded up. Actually, beneath the service module. So it's part of the rocket, going to the moon.
I really know why they couldn't go. See, I had a Saturn V rocket, or I had some kind of rocket with a limb in it, and every time I tried to build it, it'd fall apart. So that's why I know they really couldn't go.
Well,
you ever have one of those? You can't get those legs in there, man. But, you know, but as a kid, you just shove them on in there. I'm sure if you're in a hurry to get to the moon, you're going to do the same thing. But how many pounds of fuel is anybody calculated? I don't know if you mentioned exactly, but how much fuel? You said, would it be 1,000 tons, or how would they?
It'd be 800,000 tons.
Okay, but once you're propelled, don't you go by inertia in space?
Not really, because you're always fighting against the gravity of the Earth. But after all, the moon is held by Earth's gravity, correct?
Okay. Yes, sir.
There's still Earth's gravity at 250,000 miles away.
Okay, I'm going to have.
So
to
you're
get
really
going
to have to have fuel most of the way there.
Mm, to break the gravity field.
Correct.
And it I think Japan or somebody just launched a rocket that was supposedly maybe even heading to, or maybe be in the moon orbit, but the way they did it was they did oblong circles around the Earth and kept spiraling out. Were you aware of that?
Yeah, that took about, a year and a half to get to the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's how they overcame the gravity and the fuel problem.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now it's getting deeper, Bart, but it's going, the pendulum is swinging a little bit on your side. We're going to try to find out. Well, okay, because you're not talking about just video fakery. There would have to be keeping people quiet, keeping video.
Not as many as you would think.
Well, weren't there 100,000 people working at NASA then?
Oh, well, subcontractors, but they didn't know. The guy made the glove, the boot, the door, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're building, you know, stuff.
Did somebody beam
most of it?
Did somebody beam television pictures to their monitors?
Well, sure. All the computer operators had the exact same data and the exact same television images, and it wasn't only announced a little less than a year ago that the flight crew there, all those computer operators, could tell no difference between a simulation and an actual flight. They were receiving programmed information that would say the spacecraft was this far away, consuming this much fuel. It was just a computer program based on clock time. And there you go. So all those guys did not know. It's even possible the flight director did not know.
Mm-hmm.
If you can imagine, the guy in charge of the flight potentially did not know that they really were not going to the moon.
Did JFK know?
I'm sorry?
Did the president know, JFK?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
He knew it was
fake. Richard Nixon was president. Kennedy set the goal to go to the moon before the end of the decade of the 60s. Mm-hmm. Johnson's administration was the one who found out they could not go and were very likely going to falsify it. That's why we believe that Johnson did not run for re-election. Here we have a sitting president who is not running for re-election. You know, it's extremely rare. And the Democratic Party was going to nominate him anyway, and he said, I still refuse, because he would then be at the helm during the faking of the moon landing, which he did not, no one knew would work, might work, might not work.
Yeah.
And certainly not something you want blown up in your face, so he bowed out of it. Nixon pops in, and they, you know, after the inaugural party, say, hey, you know, this is what's coming down the pike. Is it a thumbs up or thumbs down? He obviously gave it a thumbs up because they did not go to the moon. President knew, Kissinger knew, you know, top people involved knew, but very few people knew.
Do you believe eventually we'll find a deathbed, or we'll get a deathbed confession from one of the living astronauts that's still alive?
I think that's possible, yes.
Again, of course, as somebody who doesn't want to die with a big lie in their hands. I mean, I think we're pretty far away from the fact that we don't got to worry about Russia anymore. So I don't know, you know.
It's more of an embarrassment to the taxpayers. I mean, it basically costs, in today's dollars, $135 billion to pretend to go to the moon. That's $800 for everybody, man, woman, and child in America.
I bet we're still paying interest on that, too.
And then it's like there's commemorative stamps, commemorative coins. It's talked to school children, we held parades, they met with the Pope, I mean, you know.
Yeah, school books have to be rewritten. There's a whole infrastructure around that fraud, isn't it?
And then, you know, the government, the trust in the government, et cetera, et cetera. I think, you know, the country has a lot of stamina and could take pretty much anything.
Well, Bart, we discussed how the human could not get through the Van Allen radiation belt. We mentioned just a few minutes ago, for those of you just maybe tuning in, we're talking to Bart Sieberl. We're talking about whether or not we went to the moon, and he has compelling evidence to say that we didn't. But we were discussing how a recent rocket was fired and went around an oblong circular way around the Earth so many times to get over the Earth's gravitational pull. So evidently, we can get mechanical things through the Van Allen radiation belt. Would that include film?
I'm not sure about film, but I suspect that you could. You would just protect it in lead. And, I think film could go through it with the right protection. Mm-hmm. The thing is, you have to keep in mind, you know, you can x-ray a toaster 1,000 times and it'll still make toast. You x-ray a human 1,000 times, you're going to have problems. So you can send probes to the moon, probes to Mars. However, a human has never gone past the Van Allen radiation belt ever, unless the Soviets did it and failed to report it. And the only reason they would fail to report it is if, you know, crew died.
Yeah. Wasn't President Bush proclaiming that we want to go to Mars?
Yeah, he said some interesting things. One thing was during the 100th anniversary of flight, he said, we want to commemorate the Wright brothers' first powered flight, commemorate Lindy flying over the Atlantic, and commemorate probes to Mars and beyond.
Something was missing in that group.
Yeah, he failed to mention something there, which the president's words being scripted meticulously means that he deliberately failed to mention it, which he found out that they did not go to the moon, and he felt it dishonorable to include it in the statements with those other real events in history. He said about going to the moon, he said maybe we'll find fuel in the soil, right? Well, I'm like, you know, we were there 6 times. I don't know what more we might discover in the dirt. He's like, and we, of course, before we can return to the moon, have to figure a way to protect the astronauts from radiation. Well, I'm like, let's do it the way you guys did it so successfully when you went to the moon 6 times.
They should have.
And he said going to the moon is a logical first step to Mars and beyond.
Well, didn't that, was it, who was it, what astronaut was it a couple of years ago, maybe at an invocation or some kind of thing, or he said something in such a way as to lead you to believe that he never went to begin with, but he couldn't say it. Do you remember what that statement was?
Who?
I don't know if it was Armstrong or who it was, but they were at an award ceremony, and the way they worded going to the moon was as if they never went. I can't remember how.
Well, are you talking about Neil Armstrong in the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
Yeah, it was there, too. I think I saw it maybe on Fox. But, yeah, it was something to do with the fact saying that, you know, if we ever go, or I don't forget how he worded it, but he basically didn't say that he went.
Well, Neil Armstrong made a public appearance on the 25th anniversary, which was 10 years ago, July 20th, 1994. And he was in the White House, and he was talking to school children touring the White House. He said, perhaps someday you'll be able to remove one of truth's protective layers.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of interesting mm-hmm. thing to say, holding back tears about his experience going to the moon. Yeah, I think the reason why he doesn't give interviews is he doesn't, you know, want to lie. I mean, here you have the guy who was first to walk on the moon, and he's never, ever been interviewed by Walter Cronkite, by Barbara Walters, by CNN, since he walked on the moon, allegedly, not by Time, not by Life, not by Newsweek, not never been interviewed one-on-one, never.
Well, even for those who are convinced we went, that has to be, you know, their hero not given an interview. I mean, because he has to be their hero, then they ought to have a little bit of question about that anyway.
Well, you know, that's not proof. It just,
no, it's not.
It does fall into place when you do have the proof, which, you know, is in the film of the fake shot of the Earth surrounded by space. We know now they didn't go, and that's why, of course, all these other things fall into place. That's why the guy doesn't give interviews. That's why the administrator resigned. That's why the shadows intersect. You know, mm-hmm. now it all makes sense.
Have you got any requests from NASA to stop your producing this film or marketing it or whatever?
No.
Has anybody tried to stop you?
No.
Have you been followed? Have you been haunted in any way? Phone tapped? Phone tapped?
Well,
watched from a satellite?
I don't keep up with it. You know, the fact is we didn't go. 9 out of 10 people are good. 9 out of 10 people in the government are good. 9 out of 10 people in the CIA are good.
Okay.
CIA has some useful purposes.
Well said. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are people who know that we didn't go to the moon and that I'm, you know, leading the cry to get the truth to come out. And, you know, it's their call.
What is the percentage of people that believe that we actually went to the moon? Do you know what that is?
Well, it depends. In America, it's estimated that right now around 15% of the American public believes the moon landings were fraudulent, which is about 5% higher than it was about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and or a third higher. And, you know, I think that's substantial. I think, you know, when I produce a 47-minute film and 4 to 5 people recant after watching it, I think that's substantial. I've just got to get the facts to the people. And, you know, who knows when and if the government's ever going to come forward. The way I look at it is, you know, going to eat humble pie, better to eat it voluntarily than have someone shove it down your throat.
And it does sound like you might have a dish ready for them, so to look at that. Okay, so we're on our way to the moon, and let's just say we've got through the radiation, Van Allen radiation belt, and we're on our way to the moon. Now, somehow we've got to park a spaceship in orbit and then drop a lander and then bring it back up. Now, is that possible back then?
No, I doubt if it'd be possible today. The lunar module and what it allegedly did is really preposterous. More preposterous than any other physical part of the mission. You know, taking off and landing is already a problem, right? It's killed 14 people in the space shuttle just taking off and landing. Imagine doubling that. Mm-hmm. You're taking off and landing twice per mission, once on Earth, you know, up and down, and then once in a completely foreign environment. Neil Armstrong bailed out of the lunar lander here on Earth about 6 weeks before he went to the moon, exactly 1 second before, you know, it blew up and hit the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing wouldn't fly in the controlled environment of the Earth. It certainly wasn't going to fly in this foreign environment with computers that weren't powerful enough. And then the thing, you know, just claimed that the thing...
Okay. On our newsmaker line, we have Bart Sieber. Bart, welcome back to The Edge.
Thank you.
All right. Well, we were talking about how we're getting through. We've got somehow we made it through the Van Allen radiation belt. Somehow we had enough fuel on a rocket. I'm just being devil advocate here. Somehow we've got through all that. Now we're orbiting the planet with some sort of spacecraft. And you said we did not have the technology to drop down out of orbit and blast back up.
No, not back then, certainly. It would probably be extremely difficult to do it today as well.
Well, it seems to me that that limb, you know, I always look at that limb as like a balloon. If you have a single thruster and you let the air out of a balloon, wouldn't it just fly all around?
Well, you know, I'm in the video business, and one thing why a camera tripod, it has three legs, right? So it has three legs so that it'll always be level. No matter what surface you have. why the lunar module, which, you know, I think it being level would probably be significant, you know, mm-hmm. for especially takeoff. Why did it have four legs? You know, which would cause potentially this teetering back and forth. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say it's in 250 degrees Fahrenheit, it's the size of a small bathroom, and yet it's being powered by air conditioning off of virtual car batteries for two and a half, 3 days.
So you're saying that they claim to have car battery or batteries that run everything, the cooling system and
yeah, that
the
they
lights.
Get from 250 degrees down to 72.
Well, how much?
For 3 days nonstop on batteries.
Well, how big will those batteries have to be? They certainly didn't have the technology of batteries that we have today.
No, I don't think it would have worked.
Yeah, it seems to me that would be about 1,000 tons of lead.
Yeah, and then it still wouldn't work. It couldn't power that much air conditioning.
Well, perhaps
off the batteries.
Well, perhaps they had reverse alien technology, and they had some sort of...
Show me one little green man, and I'll believe, you know.
Oh, okay. Well, we haven't got to that part yet. That's here come later. Okay, so somehow they're going to orbit the moon, and they're going to drop down. Well, let's get back down. Let's just say we've got all that. Now we're going to descend to the Earth, or to the moon. When I heard that, sometimes... Why is it we don't hear the thrusters as they're descending down?
Well, because they weren't descending. They were in Earth orbit. They were doing the audio live so there could be impromptu responses.
Mm-hmm.
That earpiece that they had, we heard what they heard for a brief second at the beginning of this classified footage talk. That's what they heard.
Yeah.
And so they're in Earth orbit, and the engines aren't being fired at all. And so mm-hmm. when they, we should hear, you know, fairly... You know, rattling or something.
Well, let's pretend that they did fire. I've heard, I mean, I guess the NASA and the NASA supporters say that, well, you can't hear stuff in space, but I thought, well, why can't I hear somebody talking?
Well, you know, that's kind of a catch-all for everything they can't explain is the vacuum of space,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a vacuum of space? Then trust us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Okay, since the completion of Part 1, we've produced Astronauts Gone Wild, where I arranged interviews with astronauts who were willing to give interviews and did the first half of the interview kind of like playing along like they went to the moon, and the second half I confronted them with details.
Mm-hmm.
Alan Bean, I'm like, when you were descending, you know, was that engine loud? He says, no, you couldn't hear it because of the vacuum of space. I ask Eugene Cernan, was it loud when you were descending? He says, oh, yeah, it was very loud.
Mm-hmm. Well, and there, and for the audience out there listening to the Edge Radio broadcast, one of the reasons we're having Bart on here because he talked directly to, how many astronauts did you actually confront there, Bart?
Nine of them.
Okay, I didn't even know there was that many. I was, you know, you always see just the top like two or three, but I guess in all there was a lot of them in on it.
Yeah, three per mission, six missions, so mm-hmm. 18.
Yeah, so it sounds to me like you've definitely done your homework and you've been right there in the thick of it, including to NASA. Did you, I mean, are you financially well off to make these travels in that, or does somebody support you, or how's that?
Well, the film is a limited liability corporation. We sell shares
mm-hmm.
of it,
yeah.
And that's how it's financed.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so now we're dropping down from the moon and, or from the orbit, and we're dropping down, and there's one astronaut says there was noise and one says that there wasn't. Okay, so we've got to get past that somehow. So I guess in that case there was half a noise, because we're trying to you know, we've got to think from the NASA point of view, and for those who believe that we went, you know, okay, we're going to give you that, maybe you got half a noise. Okay, so now you're going to land with a 15,000-pound thruster. I wonder how much fuel it takes to run a 15,000-pound thruster.
Yeah.
In that little bitty craft, where would you put the fuel?
It's, I mean, whatever they say it is. You know,
I got that right.
All the Apollo 11 data, while NASA says it's not classified, it's also not available. Okay, it's not classified, it's just not available.
Mm. Do you believe the shots of it, do you believe that the limb was on a set somewhere?
Well, I think the limb was jettisoned somewhere, probably over the ocean.
Yeah. Well, it could still be out there, huh?
Probably not. They probably mm-hmm. threw it into the sun or the ocean or something.
Yeah, just kept it on going.
Yeah, get rid of it.
Okay, so now we've got it coming down, because I notice as they drop, they go 15 degrees here, right? And you go, beep, you know, you hear a beep, and then they go 15, you know, and then it goes, the Eagle has landed. But couldn't they have just done that on a base somewhere? You saying they actually made that in space? Orbiting the Earth, or was that part of it?
Yeah, I'm saying that they had to be on the rocket for a number of reasons. You know, they could be there in front of witnesses, go up, okay,
mm-hmm.
get real zero gravity footage, you know, for the spacecraft things floating by, which you can get from Earth orbit. And you could really splash down in front of witnesses. The thing is, they never left Earth orbit. That's to take proof of them faking a shot of just being halfway to the moon.
Bart, how do they explain lack of a blast crater underneath the limb?
No atmosphere, vacuum of space.
Oh, it's, man, that just works for everything. Why couldn't he get a chicken fried because of the vacuum of space?
There were depictions that, you know, this thing, you know, would create some sort of disturbance in the sand, some sort of circle or something, you know, underneath it. However, in blowing up the pictures from the first moon mission, there was no disturbance whatsoever underneath the soil, underneath this rocket that allegedly fired.
Mm-hmm.
The second mission to the moon conveniently had the engine behind a ridge so that it was not shown in all the pictures.
Mm-hmm. Who was
this
it?
Landed behind a ridge and you never saw underneath it, so you wouldn't they could kind of push it off and try to deal with it.
When they jumped off the limb onto the soil, who was it that was taking the picture?
Allegedly, it was an automatic camera.
Man, they had some technology back then, didn't they?
Well, I think that
wow,
that was pretty feasible. That you could rig a camera up to do it.
But you're talking about a camera that had to be on the outside of the ship as it's descending, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Transmitting, though, from that particular distance off of battery powers, that could be a problem.
Hmm. Well, didn't they just beam off a Hewlett-Packard satellite? Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't have satellites back
then.
Well,
you know, the push, they're trying to go, a quarter of a million miles away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not sure how. How that would have worked.
Okay,
what
about this famous photograph of the rocks having letters on them? Do you believe that those are prop signals?
Yeah. You can go to moonmovie.com, and I think we have a picture of a rock that's got a little kind of crease in it. I think it's a papier-mâché rock,
mm-hmm.
and there's a C on it. And then after the production of the film, and you have to go back, Daniel, and look at it, there's also a C in the dirt right underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
You should go back to that and look at that again. Not only is there a C on the rock, there's a C in the dirt underneath it. So the C rock was by the C in the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
From my analyzing of the pictures, they were definitely, you know, on a set, definitely inside, and the sets weren't that big, actually. They're surprisingly close to the background, and they're not that big of sets, and from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably would have different setups. This will be Area 1, or A, Area B, Area C, etc. And we'll move rocks around, and this will be the setup for area, you know, when you're allegedly, you know, half a mile from here.
Bart, do you believe if you were standing on the moon that you could look up in the daytime and see stars?
Yeah, I think you could. One of the issues that was brought up is that in the still pictures, which are very pristine, by the way, considering all the radiation, 500-degree temperature, you know, extremes from minus 250 in the shadow to plus 250 in the sunlight, no fogging from the temperature, no micrometeorites, no radiation fuzzing. There's like, well, what about the stars? You know, there's no stars in the pictures. I don't think they would have showed up in a photograph, but you would have been able to see them by your eye. That's a problem, especially with older film. They could either expose the stars only, or the astronauts who are wearing white, you know, in extremely bright sunlight. So you can only set it for one or the other. So when you see the astronaut in the flag, you don't see the stars because the iris is almost all the way closed.
Well, I've heard that the reason they don't show the stars is because if any amateur astronomer would look at that, they could tell exactly where they were.
Well, yeah. That would have been a problem if they had to have faked the astrological position of the constellations. That would have been a major problem. They would not have been able to do that.
Yeah.
It's not so much, the question really isn't why aren't there any stars in the pictures, because NASA's explanation is accurate. The question is, why didn't they take any pictures of the stars by themselves with an exposure setting perfect for them? They never took any photographs of the constellations. I mean, here they were. They never took a telescope. They took three cars to the moon, but they never took a telescope, because a telescope would prove to everybody they weren't on the moon. They would have had to back up, you know, the fact that they could see farther than any telescope on Earth had ever seen, because they were looking out at the stars with no atmosphere distortion.
Mm-hmm.
they would have brought a telescope, and they would have definitely brought a telescope to the moon.
This seems like that's an
option. And if it's a car or a telescope, you go with the telescope. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very easy call, and yet they never brought a telescope because they weren't on the moon.
Well,
they could not fake these. They'd have to make up galaxies that would maybe one day prove to be non-existent when the technology improved on Earth, you know, that you could see that area of space.
Well, in the movie Space Cowboys with Clint Eastwood, the very end of that movie, Tommy Lee Jones is crashed on the moon sitting against a rock, and they have, and it's bright daylight sunlight, and there's stars all through that film footage. So,
well, that's more of a film effect. Mm-hmm. I think the human eye would be able to see the stars.
Okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe that this set exists in Area 51?
That what exists?
The set, the moon crater area.
They are not on the moon, okay? We know this from the footage we uncovered that they did not go, which means the photographs that they took are on Earth, not the moon. If they're on Earth, they're very likely in the United States for security. And then what's the most secure area in the United States? It probably is Area 51. I know it sounds crusade, mm-hmm. but, you know, the thing is, it probably was at Area 51. And I would have those sets completely intact to this day, just in case they need to return to the moon. So the proof is actually right there. You know, of course, uh-huh. who can get access to it?
Yeah. Without being shot.
A bunch of pitchforks at the gate or something.
Yeah. If by the way,
you storm your way in and say, show me everything.
For our listeners out there, we're listening to Bart Seaver. We're talking about the DVD he made, Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. But if you believe that Bart is wrong and somebody needs to knock some sense into him, then go to his website and buy the video he made, Astronauts Gone Wild, and you'll see somebody try to knock some sense into you. You were assaulted by an astronaut, were you, Bart?
Well, yeah. I had come up with the idea since the production of the first film, that, you know, what would be good would be to track down some of these guys and ask them to swear on the Bible whether they walked on the moon or not. And, you know, a lot of them wouldn't give interviews, so what I was left with is kind of tracking down where they were going to be at some public event, and then catching them in public and walking up to them and asking them to swear on a Bible. So I asked Neil Armstrong to swear on a Bible. And he refused, started shaking like a leaf. And when I offered him $5,000 cash to give to charity or to go to Hawaii, he still refused to do it. He knows that I know. I sent him the secret tape 2 years before the film came out. He's always, you know, mm-hmm. I kept him updated on the progress of the thing because I think the guy was blackmailed.
Mm.
And Buzz, on the other hand, you know, frequently gives interviews. Constantly, you know, in the limelight, constantly talking about how he walked on the moon when he did not. And I asked him in Los Angeles a couple of years ago to swear on the Bible that he walked on the moon. And he refused to do it. And he had just given an interview upstairs to a Japanese company, Japanese production company.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid him $2,000. For him to talk for an hour about how he walked on the moon when he didn't. And I said that made him a thief, a liar, and a coward for being afraid for the truth to come out.
Ooh.
Now, I didn't intend on saying that. It was one of those things where the heat kept getting turned up, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't like me saying that, and he punched me. You know, we got that on camera. It's in the film. And, you know, no big deal. I mean, he didn't plan on hitting me. I didn't plan on saying that. You know, and now that I've had time to think about it, I feel responsible for it. I feel like I did provoke him that, you know, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have called him a coward, a liar, and a thief. That was inappropriate.
Well, yeah, I understand. But
I provoked him punching me. So
okay.
I feel like, you know, it was really my fault that happened. You know, I didn't plan on it. I wouldn't do it again. You know what I mean? It's just one of those
things.
You
didn't say punch me because, I want to get some film footage. All right, we got a question come in on the Fast Pass on the Edge radio broadcast. The question is, if you were standing on the moon, how big would the Earth appear?
Well, somewhere 4 to 6 times bigger. And you certainly would want to pose by it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would think so.
It's like you and me going to Paris, we pose in front of the Eiffel Tower. You know,
exactly.
If we're on the moon, we're going to pose by the Earth. Mm-hmm. However, to get the climate to be accurate to what it really was, they couldn't do it. Because the way they faked the Earth in space is they sent up film on probes. and took pictures, and they sent it back, and they used that to fake, you know, the Earth. They did the same thing with the moon. They set up cameras and photographed it meticulously, and they created models of it that, you know, this is the real crater there. I mean, they did a pretty good job faking the pictures. I mean, they've gotten away to it to this day. However, they did not, that was a problem, like, with the stars. They couldn't really show the Earth because the way that they did it, they'd have to send up a probe and process the film and launch something, and there was no way of coordinating that quickly with a storm system that there might be some hurricane out in the Atlantic that's not there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, did you ask any of the astronauts you interviewed whether or not they had pictures of the Earth or why they didn't take them? Do you remember?
There are pictures they took of the Earth, but they were never with the astronauts in them, you know, standing on the moon with the Earth in the background. Because then it would have to be synchronized. That they knew when that picture was taken, what time of day and whatever, and if the weather wasn't exactly like it was, there'd just be no way of back then faking it.
Okay.
So they didn't. They ignored it, just like they ignored ever talking about the stars.
Yeah.
Neil Armstrong and none of the crews ever mentioned the stars, never, not once. And it was the only, you know, press conference, it was the only question that he said, I don't remember. If he was asked about seeing the stars, it's like, I don't remember. Well, you know, I think it'd be something memorable, you know. And
that's what they trained to do, and here they are on the moon. That's got to be like the biggest event ever.
And you can see right after he says that, Michael Collins flinches and then Buzz Aldrin flinches in reaction to his saying, I don't remember, which they felt was the inappropriate answer.
Yeah, what year interview was that?
That was from the initial press conference, which was in August of 1969, August 14th, I think. And that's now available on our website that just came out.
Yeah.
We have the initial press conference, and it looks like they're at a funeral for an hour and a half. In fact, when I ask people, what's the most convincing thing in the first film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, a lot of people say the press conference footage, which I only showed about 10, 20 seconds of. And yet their expressions during this press conference, you know, something is not right. They look extremely unhappy, really regretful, mournful, and their facial expressions. Mm-hmm. Something's not right. And we now have that, the original press conference, which I edited and color corrected from the original footage, cut that together, and you can see them kind of, you know...
Is that on your movie, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon?
No, that's now at the website, at moonmovie.com. We now have the original press conference footage just came out. It may not even be up there, but you could just go to ordering the other one and put it in the note.
Yeah.
And then we're releasing the window shot footage, the fake photography, in its entirety. We show about maybe 10 minutes of it in the first film, certainly the most damning parts. However, we have the entire thing, which is about an hour unedited, now available.
Yeah. Well, I got to say, just the part you had in the original DVD was pretty convincing to me because it was obvious that there was some fakery going on. And of course, they had a pretty good sized budget; they could have faked anything for any cost. You talk about having miniature models made and putting probes up to get certain pictures, so they had a pretty good budget to do these things.
Yeah, and you know, that's what they did. Now now what are they going to do about it?
Okay.
They're doing total commitment to the lie.
All right, let's get to one of the most classic conspiracy theory questions of all time regarding the moon hoax. What about the flag waving?
Well, there's a couple of motion picture clips where the flag, the lower right-hand corner, the fabric seems to be, you know, moving on its own, which is, in my opinion, air conditioning. They're in sets, they're inside, they had the cooling units removed so they wouldn't fall over in Earth gravity. It's very hot in there, and I'm sure they have lots of air conditioning. It, you know, it's believed that some people maybe leaked out this footage of the flag blowing, you know, crying out, hey, you know, we're not on the moon. I don't know. It certainly looks weird to me.
Did you have any part with the Fox special about the moon a couple years
right.
ago?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You were, what part did you have in that?
Well, I was a senior consultant on the project, and you may remember they interviewed me extensively about it, showed clips of the film, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. We basically went to Fox, said, hey, here's the documentary, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, you guys should hear it. They said they can't. It's too controversial for even Fox. So they said, let us t- tone it down a little bit. We'll give you a consulting fee and interview you, and we'll do a toned down version of it.
Yeah.
And they didn't even show the secret footage. Okay. They just showed, you know, other evidence, the shadows intersecting and a few other, you know, points.
Yeah.
And that convinced a lot of people.
Yeah. It definitely riled up NASA, because I believe after I saw that movie, the things that I had seen previously on NASA's website seemed like they started moving pictures around.
Well, who knows? I think, you know, NASA was fooled back then, so they're even more fooled now about it. There might be one or two people there who know, but I doubt it.
You're well aware, of course, there are whole websites that that counter every claim that, you know, such as shadows. You know, this is why the shadows happen. This is why the flag looks like it's waving. This is,
well, this is the way I look at it. If they really went to the moon, then anyone who says otherwise is an idiot. Why, then, are there thousands of hours constructed these websites? Thousands of hours have been spent on these websites to refute the so obvious moon landings to a bunch of idiots.
Mm-hmm. Let me. Here's a question I had for you, and this really kind of goes in conjunction with a email that I just sent in Fast Blast. Why is it we can't turn the Hubble onto the moon to find any, the rover, the flag, any kind of residue footprints? Why won't they do the? Could they do that? Or is it?
Well, according, yeah, there's folk. This is kind of misunderstood folklore. I get some emails, people saying, "Oh, I swore I saw the flag through my teacher's telescope in the backyard." No, according to NASA, no Earth-based telescope is powerful enough. Also, according to NASA, the Hubble telescope is too powerful. It's designed to look into deep space. Mm-hmm. It cannot focus on the moon. On the moon, one pixel would be 200 feet across. So you certainly couldn't see footprints or a flag within one pixel.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about it yourself? Have you looked up at there, Bart? Have you took a peek?
Well, there's no way, according to NASA, there's no technological way of doing it at the moment. Now, Japan, on the other hand, did send a probe to the moon about 5 years ago with an array of cameras, five different types of camera, infrared and all this stuff. It could have had the capability to take close-up photographs of the alleged landing sites. Unfortunately, as soon as it achieved lunar orbit, all of its five cameras simultaneously malfunctioned.
Man, the coincidences just keep mounting.
The Japanese can't make a good camera.
That's no, we can't, but it seems like they could. All right, well, we've had a lot of interesting questions. Now, we've got down to we're landed on the moon with our model LIMS lander there, and we're walking around, and how hot is it in the sun, and how cool is it in the shade?
They say it's about 250 degrees Fahrenheit in the sun and minus 250 Fahrenheit in the shade.
So that backpack had some kind of monster AC system, didn't it?
It had something.
Was it large? I mean, could a backpack, what did they say, there were batteries in there or what?
Yeah, batteries and a cooling system and all sorts of great gizmos.
Wow, man, they had some really great technology back in the 60s, didn't they?
I guess so.
I mean, it's because what you're saying is there had to be a battery for however long they walked on Earth to keep them cool inside that suit.
Right.
So did they have a battery charger? Did they have extra batteries? I mean, there's a whole infrastructure to have to be built around that, seems like to me.
Yeah, and then again, Von Braun said when you landed, you'd have to go into a cave to protect yourself from radiation and micrometeorites, which they never did.
Okay. Let me ask you this. If they're walking around, is it your tape or was it the Fox special I saw that if you actually speed up the people walking on the moon, they look normal?
Both. Basically, they're, you know, the TV picture that most people saw kind of had the astronauts. It's black and white. And they were kind of floating around, you know. Mm-hmm. It looked, I thought, very convincing. And then I thought, well, why don't I just double the speed and see if this is slow motion or not?
Yep.
And sure enough, it was slow motion. They're leaving the ground only an inch or so as if they're on Earth. I mean, when you double the speed, it definitely looks like they're in Earth gravity, not lunar gravity. And yet, the simple effect of slow motion was very convincing and still is very convincing.
Seems like I've read one of the reasons that there's such a gap between the ladder and the ground from the limb was that they actually anticipated to sink 6 inches into the ground due to moon dust accumulation.
Yeah, I think the ladder was off a little bit. But again, all these details, you know, are probably intentional to make it look natural, like they weren't quite perfect or something. And maybe that even helped them, say, they were in lunar gravity even more because they could jump higher, you see.
Mm-hmm.
They should have been creating some scenario to add realism to it.
Okay. Do you believe that the truth will ever come out?
This week? Well, I don't know. Right now, about halfway today.
Seems like you're kind of fighting an uphill battle for that truth to come out, seems like.
Yeah, I don't know that I'll necessarily have anything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I think if it's meant to come out, it'll come out. And one of my guesses is it probably will.
Okay. Let me say this. Was the moon rover, where was that? Was that supposedly tied underneath the limb? Or did they assemble it out of a box? Where'd that thing come out of?
They allegedly carried that on the side of the lunar module.
Huh?
You wonder if that seemed to affect...
Have you ever seen that on the ground, say, from an old NASA shot of the rover on the side of the limb? Have you ever seen that? I don't recall seeing that one.
No, I don't think they really showed how it got out of the side of the lunar module in there. It was just there, I think. There might be a couple of still pictures that kind of jump ahead, you know. Here it is, A, B, C, or something like
well,
that.
Well, I think what it is, when you're in a vacuum of space, you can just tie a rope to it and drag it down.
There you go.
I mean, that vacuum of space thing works really well.
Yeah, and the thing is, these cars, you know, which had fewer parts than a Jeep, they cost, in today's dollars, $60 million each.
Mm-hmm. Again, run on batteries, right?
I think they were solar-powered with battery backup.
Wow.
And here's the thing, you know, I wouldn't personally feel good about driving 5 miles away from my only life support, the lunar module.
Mm-hmm.
If the thing breaks down, I wouldn't have enough oxygen to walk back, you know.
Mm.
That could be a problem. I wouldn't feel comfortable.
They said they drove 5 miles away from the limb?
Yeah, they drove 5 miles or some, you know, pretty good little distance away in the lunar module. I mean, in the rover.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I'd feel comfortable doing.
Mm. Never thought about that. Do you believe that what they claim to be moon rocks, are those from the moon?
Well, there's three possibilities. Either they were manufactured. I mean, after all, a diamond... which is, you know, painstaking quality, can now be man-made, that a specialist cannot tell the difference between a man-made one and a natural one.
Mm-hmm.
A rock, I think, would be easier to fake. So they could have faked a rock. They could have retrieved them from lunar meteorites, which Antarctica is known to have. And, oddly enough, the flight director, von Braun, did retrieve lunar specimens from Antarctica about 11 months before they allegedly went to the moon. Then you have the possibility that they could have sent a probe to the moon and retrieved lunar rocks. What they probably did was is they sent a probe to the moon, retrieved very small amount of samples, and designed the rocks, or, you know, or either used the meteorites or did some sort of study of them. They didn't have enough to put out that from a probe, but I think they used that as a model on how to fake them.
Well, when you're talking about rocks, it seems to me, they said they found a rock from Mars in the North Pole area. So it seems that, you know, because they say asteroids smashed into the planets and they blasted so much soil our way, and on Earth so much soil blasted back their way, so you're likely to find Earth soil on the moon and Mars even. But you're not saying then, I guess this is the part that you're saying, you're not disagreeing with the fact that there are moon rocks that exist.
Well, NASA claims that there are moon rocks, and we have no way of disputing that because it's a federal crime to be in possession of a moon rock.
Of course, you, as you're well aware, at least one appeared up on eBay a couple years ago. Did you know that?
Well, they're probably counterfeit rocks. Maybe there's one or something, I don't know. According to, it's against the law to be in possession of one. So there's not really any independent testing of it. And, again, there's this wanna-believe consensus. So, unfortunately, scientists, if they are studying them, were either fooled or kind of blind about it.
Is it possible, I know there's a question about shooting something in complete darkness, that say there's the shot of the astronaut behind the limb in the darkness, but it really wasn't dark, but it was it supposed to be dark there?
Still pictures, according to NASA, were shot entirely with the natural lighting, the sunlight. And yet, during the descent, the side that the ladder was on and the door was on the shadow side of the lunar module. Yet in the still pictures, you know, it's very bright. it looks like, from my experience, what's called an umbrella light. It's kind of a diffused light that's bounced into a photographic umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
It's called a fill light. But they were, wanted to have a little detail there. I think they overlit it, and it has no explanation as to where this light coming from if the sun's on the other side and the sun is the only light source.
Do you think...
The designer of the camera himself, during an interview, said, I just cannot explain why the picture looks like that.
Because he didn't expect it to look that good?
Well, he says it shouldn't look like this. You know, it should be dark.
Was that his camera, the camera developer? Was he the one that put the etches, the cross etches on the lens?
Those were on the camera plate, allegedly to kind of tell distance from objects.
Mm-hmm.
So, these little kind of crosshairs, which is kind of a cool effect, makes it look scientific. There's little crosshairs.
Yeah.
On the pictures.
And how did NASA explain the picture being on top of those crosshairs?
Yeah, occasionally there's a photograph that's, you know, on top of a crosshair, which is contradictory to the way that the camera was designed. What that would mean is it was a compositing of two photographs into one, like a foreground and a background were kind of put together in a still picture.
What do you say somebody that would listen to this program and say that, you know, you have some personal vendetta against NASA, or you're a kook? How do you deal with that? Do you tell them to examine the evidence for yourself, or you just ignore them? And you must face that at some point.
Well, you have to understand, I was a big fan of the space program. I had at my home a whole entire wall covered with pictures of the first moon landing.
Before this ever?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the greatest thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Thought it was cool. Then, you know, fortunately I was open-minded, started looking at the pictures, and sure enough, there were inconsistencies I'd never seen. My eyes were wide shut. And that led into doing this film about it and the persistence, and led into the discovery of this mislabeled footage, which unfortunately does prove that they did not go to the moon. In my opinion, it's not a theory anymore. It was a theory prior to this reel being discovered. Now it is a fact.
Well, I tell you what, Bart, we're deep into the second hour. For those that may be tuning in late, explain again what it is that you have, the film that you got from NASA that was inadvertently mislabeled, and you believe is a smoking gun and proof that we did not go to the moon. Describe that film.
It's a firing gun, in that we have this unedited footage from which they aired about 10 seconds. If you can imagine your TV screen mostly black with a little blue tennis ball-sized Earth in the middle of it. This is, allegedly, the Earth floating in space. The thing has a timestamp at the beginning of it by a computer dating it, according to NASA's own computer, 2.5 days after they left for the moon. They're supposed to be 130,000 miles away, halfway to the moon. They say there's one window facing the Earth. They've got the lens of the video camera to that window to see the picture that I described, the little blue Earth with black around it. See, here we are halfway to the moon. Unfortunately, we have the unedited version, which proves that this is a fake shot. What you're seeing is actually a circular window of the spacecraft with all the lights off, and they've pulled the camera back away from the window. And several feet in front of the camera is a circular window, outside of which it's completely filled with the Earth in low orbit. And you're seeing a section of the Earth outside of the circular window with the lights off, causing this blackness to be around the window, making it look like the Earth floating in space. Very clever shot. They even insert a little crescent piece of black material into the window a couple of inches to make it look like the Terminator line between night and day, and it looks really good. Except we have them setting it up, you know, mistakes when their hands get in front of the window or an arm moves across the entire Earth, however you want to look at it, proving that this is a fake shot. They're faking being halfway to the moon, which means they couldn't go halfway because they're faking being halfway. And all the missions had identical equipment. And if this mission's, you know, equipment cannot make it go beyond Earth orbit, then none of them could, because the equipment was identical on all the missions, which means they never went.
Okay. Hey, well, we have a question came in on Fast Blast. This is from Vancouver, North Vancouver, Canada. He says, what about the Russians being quiet? It seems this person remembers that they may have claimed they sent a lander to the moon, either crashed or not. Do you remember that or know anything about that?
They sent an unmanned probe to the moon. About a month beforehand, before Apollo 11, its intention was to retrieve a lunar sample and bring that back to Earth so that they could at least claim we have the first moon rock brought back to Earth. It crashed, and it was unsuccessful. Russia had launched the first satellite, Sputnik, 1957. Then they, after the first satellite, they did the first animal, then the first man, then the first woman, then the first spacewalk, the first crew of three, the first of two spacecraft simultaneously. For every 20 hours we spent in space, they spent 100 hours. So they were vastly, you know, they had done these seven milestones all first. So the first seven biggies in space, the Soviet did all seven, we did zero.
And our government was running scared.
Well, you know, the Cold War, nuclear missiles could be put on these rockets or satellites or whatever, and you know, the phobia of that. And I think, like in a poker game, they decided to bluff, to pretend like we had greater capability than we really did.
Isn't that what Ronald Reagan did with Star Wars? Didn't he just scare the living daylights out of the Russians, although we never created it?
Well, in 1994, actually on the 25th anniversary of the alleged moon landing, the General Accounting Office, the watchdog agency about the way the government itself spends money, said that the Star Wars missile defense program rigged tests to make it seem more advanced than it really was. The aim was to fool the Soviet Union about U.S. military readiness during the Cold War. So they spent $5 billion on Star Wars. It didn't work, and they made it pretend. They pretended to everybody, including the citizens of America, that it worked when it really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Their excuse was it was a strategy to fool the Soviets. Okay, whatever. Then what about the guys that got $5 billion for making something that didn't work? You know, what about that?
Okay.
In any case, the point is that the same thinking, you know, had been around a while, and, you know, that was the alleged reason why we pretend to go to the moon. Plus, the Vietnam War is going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's got a big, big problem with that. Civil rights. This is kind of a pep rally for the country.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look what we can do.
Kind of our own wag the dog situation there.
A little bit, yeah, bigger than that.
somebody listening remembers from the, or I guess you just reiterated on what film you discovered at NASA, talking about the astronauts saying what a beautiful shot it is. We're here halfway from the moon, from the Earth. And then somebody says talk. What did you ever confront anybody at NASA to say who was that said talk? The third line.
No, I never specifically asked them because, of course, they think we went to the moon. So
that wouldn't be a question that they would even let you ask.
It's not really even relevant under those circumstances. I did ask them this. I said, who was on that channel? You know,
mm-hmm.
And I asked them this before I told them why I was asking them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd have to, yeah.
And they said only two parties, you know, NASA and the astronauts. That's it. Okay. Clearly, that is not true. There are three people on there. You know, at the beginning of this fake footage, NASA says, hey, the TV picture looks great, and there's dead air, and then we hear talk, and Neil Armstrong starts speaking. So it's being prompted. That's on the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly there's a third party on there prompting the astronaut, you know, and we believe now waiting, timing off a stopwatch to create the delay as if he were further away from the Earth than he really was.
No, the thing, it had to be a completely staged and choreographed event. I mean, everything had to be thought of, including leaving the stars out and different things, and the vacuum of space seems to be an excuse for a lot of things. Well, let's get back on the moon, Bart. We're on the moon now. I guess we've got the lander. We had it tied to the side, you know, like a raft, I guess, and then I guess they got it down with some lowering equipment. They're driving all around, having a good old time driving, and now they've got to get back. Do they claim that the rover is still on the moon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now they got in that limb, and they blasted off because they had so much fuel on that little capsule. They had enough fuel to blast off. Has anybody made a calculation of what kind of fuel or how much thrust, any kind of engineering calculation of how much to get back up? And how is it that they even had the technology to hit that orbiting spacecraft?
Well, unfortunately, all the specifications on the limb were lost, and which is really sad because it was such a great technological achievement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Well, they lost it in the vacuum of space.
So that we could use it again in the future, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't
yeah.
want to throw that money away, right? But somehow they lost the blueprints. They just lost everything. It's really mm-hmm. sad. They also lost the magnetic reel that had all the original flight data on it. That, unfortunately, got lost as well.
Mm.
So
amazing. Lost in the vacuum of space,
right? It's lost in the vacuum
okay.
of space.
Okay, so you've got, was there two astronauts in the limb?
That's correct.
Okay, so they blasted off from the moon with And didn't it just have a single thrust rocket on the bottom, or did they have on the side of it smaller rockets to keep it steady?
They did, but that those, I think, were only used for docking.
Mm-hmm.
So for going from the moon up to the approximate area of the orbiter, there would just be one rocket.
So they figured out a way to maybe possibly with some advanced gyroscope technology to keep that thing steady on one booster, that oblong-looking, basket-looking thing, and shoot it up there to the orbiting spacecraft. Then they docked, and then they blasted back to the Earth.
Yeah, worked out pretty good.
Huh. Now, what about the splashing down?
Well, because they were in Earth orbit for 8.5 days, I mean, they were really in space, low Earth orbit, and so, yeah, they had to really splash down. So they could do that in front of witnesses, you know, have this fireball come down in the parachutes, and then there they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, their faces were covered in their quarantine seats, suits, so that we wouldn't get moon germs. So, you know, it's possible they weren't even in, but they probably were, you know. They could have done some switch or something, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd say they were probably on the rocket and splashed down, you know.
Now, you know, to say that we never went to the moon probably would have to be one of the biggest hoaxes of all time. Do you have your eye on any other, you know, I mean, if the government went to this length, it's not like once you lie, you stop lying or create fantasies like this to manipulate people. Do you believe that you'll, in the future, will pursue something else that just doesn't quite add up in another field or genre?
Well, not really. I mean, to me, this is the cream of the crop, as far as that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I'm not really a conspiracy theorist. You know, I don't think 9/11 was a conspiracy. You know, I don't personally believe in aliens from outer space. I think it's possible. However, show me one little green man and I'll believe.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, they did not go to the moon. That's an absolute fact. I bet my life on it. Proof is in the film at moonmovie.com. I mean, that's just the way that it is. We found this footage of them faking part of the mission. That means they did not go. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
could they have faked one part of it, but the other part was real?
No, why? You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you're really going to the moon, I mean, you really do it, you know. Why fake anything if you're really there? And, you know, they're claiming to be 130,000 miles out when they are clearly in Earth orbit, right? So I don't see how they can be in Earth orbit one moment and 9 hours later be walking on the moon. You know, I know the rocket didn't go that fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a contradiction right there.
Yeah. Didn't the developer of the camera, though, also say that his camera could not have worked in that kind of heat, though?
Could not have what?
His own camera couldn't have worked in the type of the extreme cold and extreme heat of space. Did he not say that, or did he say it would?
No, I think that was the purpose of it. I think, though, there would have been some aberrations in the film from temperature changes, from micrometeorites, from radiation. I don't think the pictures would have been as pristine.
Mm-hmm.
They certainly wouldn't be lit, you know, behind in the shadows. You know, that's obviously artificial lighting.
Yeah. Do you think that NASA still has other footage, or do you think they've closed the vault now that something got out that shouldn't have?
Well, on the window shot tape, which we're releasing, which is called Monkey Business, it's a DVD, and that's the fake footage in its entirety. We've also included a shot of them walking on the moon with the original slate from it, dated 5 days before they left. And then we have lunar orbit, allegedly out the command module as Michael Collins orbited the moon, and the moon's going by, then it stops for a second, it kind of adjusts, then it starts back up again. I don't think he could do that if you're really orbiting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's on there, too. So, yeah, there's the window shot's the main thing, but then we have them walking on the moon, dated 5 days before they left, and then we have this lunar orbit outtake.
All right, so you have several DVDs of this film footage. If somebody's interested in buying one of yours, which one would you recommend they get?
Got to get A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. That's the most thorough, complete, expensive one to make. I mean, that's the first one. It has the classified footage in it. It goes through the history of the space race, the Kennedy goal. That's the one to get.
Mm-hmm.
Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
Okay.
And then after you watch that, I would recommend Astronauts Gone Wild, where you see these interviews with astronauts and the contradictions that they make from one story to the other.
Yeah. And I must say that it is slightly entertaining, just in a kind of a crazy kind of way, Bart. So, especially that last scene there. So I do recommend people get Astronauts Gone Wild too. That was very interesting. So, well, I'll tell you what, Bart, I do appreciate you coming on the Edge radio broadcast. Any other further words about your moonmovie.com website or anything else?
Nah, just go to the website, moonmovie.com, and I would, you know, definitely see a funny thing happen on the way to the moon if you're open-minded to the truth. The classified footage is in there. I think it speaks for itself.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate you coming on the Edge radio broadcast. Can we have you again sometime?
All righty.
Thanks, Bart.
Take care.
All righty.
Bye.
Have been listening to The Edge with Daniel Ott. To subscribe to The Edge newsletter, log on to TheEdgeAM.com. That's TheEdgeAM.com, where you can find out more about the guests and topics discussed on the air. The Edge is being brought to you by Internet Solutions, home of affordable website design and low-cost Internet access. Visit Internet Solutions at ES4.com. That's ES4.com. Until next week, for the Edge Radio broadcast, I'm Chris Moore. See you on the Edge.